sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Rockets did an exit interview today. I don't think they've ever done that before. I don't think any organization in sports has ever done that before until our brilliant idea that we did yesterday. We had our own exit interviews. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's do our own. Rockets locked up Rafael Stone today to a multi-year extension. How do you like that move, Blankers?
Well, and Eli Wittes.
I never heard of him. Who cares about Eli Wittes?
Oh, you care. Believe me, you should care.
I've never heard of the guy.
Well, you should know that he's a guy that doesn't like all the attention, but he is the true analytics guy, and he crunches all the numbers and does all the things.
Eli Whitney, you said?
Wittes. W-I-T-U-S.
Never heard of the dude.
Well, he's like the Bill, what's his name, Furkus
for the Sports Astros. Science.
We got Wittes and Furkus, and they're the numbers guys.
They sound like numbers guys, don't they?
Yep. They sure. Well, believe me.
Wittes and Furkus, like, what
I've worked
doing
their with life? Eli. Yeah. Eli knows numbers, doesn't know how to play basketball, but he's good at what he does, so I'm glad they kept him.
Like, you hear the name Wittes and Furkus, what do you think they do all day? I think that they sit behind a spreadsheet all day. And it's probably what they do. I've never heard of Eli Wittes. Cool. I guess. I mean, that's good. I mean, you continuity, stuff like that. What did you think about Stone keeping his job?
Yeah, I was. I knew it was coming. I had been tipped off a few weeks ago.
Why didn't you share it with us? Why didn't you share it to our listeners? Stop being privy to that information.
Because
I won't sell
out my sources until they tell me it's okay.
Fair enough.
But I knew that it was coming, and you can understand why. Like, for the most part, the young guys have done enough. There was no shortage of guys that were wanting to get in and say, hey, I'd love to have that job. But I think Tillman's at a point now where he's still grooming Patrick, his son, to eventually, in their mind, be like Johnny Buss was with the Lakers. And they have visions of Patrick one day being the general manager. But for the time being, with the way things are going and because they got the right guy as head coach, I think that you could see why Stone was going to get an extension. Because right now wouldn't be the time to shake it up because you just got – You got a situation with Udoka in year one, and you finally have some continuity. Don't blow that up right away after year one when you've had the success. So I understand it.
Yeah, I like the move. I like continuity when the arrow is pointing up. I think the arrow is pointing up on the Rockets, so totally cool with the continuity. Will Kunkel covers all Houston sports for Fox 26. I met him during the basketball tournament. He came up, gave me dab, and goes, "What's up, J-Bone?" I was like, "Oh, okay."
Seeing our Twitch or something.
I didn't know you rolled that way, Will, but I appreciate it. But anyways, he tweeted out earlier, Rockets GM Rafael Stone insists he really likes their roster and are unlikely to go shopping for big names or pieces this offseason. I don't view our roster as we're missing X and need to go find it. What is Rafael Stone really saying? Because that's what we do. We don't give you the quote. All these guys are just, you know, giving you what you need to hear. They're giving you the coach speak. They're giving you the GM speak. What is he really saying whenever he says this?
To me, what he's really saying is no matter what you heard about what was discussed prior to us getting to this point right now with the trade deadline and Mikal Bridges and other guys, one, he's saying – we really like our young roster. And two, he's saying, we really feel like we got a lot of young talent. You're not prying anybody away from us at a discount rate because we're desperate to get a superstar. And so the message is sent, we like our young talent. We like the fact that they're being developed. And so if you're another team and you're looking to get a deal from us, it ain't happening. And if you're interested in one of our young guys, that is probably going to be coming at a premium price.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's something you got to do, though.
He's not. Yeah, I agree. He's not going to throw his team under the bus. So, of course, he's going to say this. I don't view our roster as we need all of this stuff and we like our players. So, I mean, he's saying what anybody's going to say. If I'm telling you what I think he's really saying is kind of, I mean, what I'm just going to echo what you said, that we like our roster. We do feel like it has a chance to be very, very good. But if there is a huge name that becomes available that we really like and we can get them on a not rip-off trade, then we would be willing to you know, entertain those conversations. I don't really think it's going to happen this offseason. Like, some of the names have been thrown around as potentially being on the move. I don't think it's natural to make a trade with the Rockets. So they're going to listen. They're going to turn over every Rafael Stone, as they should, because it's their jobs as general managers in any sport. So I think they'll look, but ultimately I don't expect any big moves from this Rockets team this summer.
Are we just going to blow past Jeremy's joke there?
It was great.
Normally, I thought you guys had sound effects for that kind of stuff.
No. Well, I should have, like, I used to have the Price is Right, like, loser horn, but it got taken out in one of the server switches.
I'll take that one.
Yeah, I'll get it back. But, yeah, grade the joke. I'll go 1.8.
It's been used before, but it wasn't. I mean, I'll give it a 2.5.
2.5? Okay.
Yeah. I was way better than that.
Yeah.
Presentation was great. I didn't hesitate waiting for y'all to laugh. I just blowed right through it. It's got to be an Easter egg. You got to be listening. It was subtle. Presentation was great. Joke might have been subpar, but presentation was excellent.
Actually, I thought the presentation was worse than the joke. You just blew right through it.
That's what you should do. You shouldn't ever hold the pause because now you're like, oh, look at me, I'm funny. No, you just go right through it, and if somebody's paying attention, somebody's paying attention.
I think that's the sign of someone who knows it wasn't funny if you're blowing right through it.
Disagree with you.
All right.
I think in terms of where they are too, they're not Oklahoma City, but let's just be real. On Oklahoma City, you know, that's Sam Presti just cleared out every veteran, got every contract out of the way, did a whole bunch of favors for a whole lot of teams, and just decided the best way he can rebuild that club was to get as many draft picks as he possibly can. And the Paul George trade when he was unloading veterans turned out great because it got him Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. The Rockets maybe haven't discovered their Shea Gilgeous-Alexander yet, but trading right now to get a Donovan Mitchell, to get a big name that's a little older in their career too, would probably take away 2 to 3 of your young pieces that you've started to really see a lot of fruits of the labor of what you're doing with and where you took them from, to see that you want to see more. And the reason why we're talking about this team being better next year and chasing a playoff spot is because we saw enough development that we wanted to see at the start of the year. I wouldn't be willing to take two or three of those young guys off this roster right now because of what we saw at the end of the year and throughout the year in terms of the majority of them developing to where we wanted to see them get to.
No, I think you're waiting for a dude to demand a trade. I think that's what you're waiting for. And I mean like someone who's...
Oh, you're talking from another team. Yep.
Yeah. And
yep.
We don't even know who it is yet.
Right.
It's the hardened thing.
Yes,
right?
It is.
It kind of pops up, and then you're ready to strike. And I think that the Rockets are ready to strike. The names that have been thrown around, I don't think are names that make a whole lot of sense. But there's going to become a contract situation. There's going to become a star that becomes unhappy at some point. I mean, it happens all the time in the NBA. I'm not telling you anything that no one already knows. And you have to be ready to strike. I think they are ready to strike, but if that doesn't come along, and I do feel they're content with their roster.
Yeah, the biggest thing is they have the assets to strike if they care to, but you're right. Look, you go down through history, Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, it happens all the time. Some of the biggest of big names that everybody thought, oh, he could never be traded. But all it's going to take is one guy to say, I'm done here, I'm out here, I don't want to be here. And teams are more likely now than they've ever been to say, okay, well, let me go check the market, see what the best options are, and see how we might possibly can turn this into being better or have a better future than overpaying or paying a guy that doesn't want to be here.
Yeah. Keith from L.A. wants to know how many guys that you've hit whenever you were playing. How many batters did you hit in your playing days?
Oh, my God. How do you try and keep a count on that? I mean,
three?
A lot more than that.
Can you count that high?
Yeah,
three?
Okay. Now, I'm not Eli Wittes, but I think I can handle it.
You need to be a Wittes or a Furkus to count more than the one hand.
Blankus can get now. Past three. Thanks.
So what was the least egregious thing that you dotted someone up for?
It didn't take much.
I know. I could have told you that.
I was going to ask, since we now know that you're someone who uses the horn literally every single day.
Oh, I have. Yeah, the aggressive, nature is there. I've had some there's some great ones. There's some not. I mean, yeah, if a guy was the last at bat was talking to the umpire constantly and glaring out. And,
what?
Oh, my God. I wasn't afraid to brush him back or send a message. And if I had to, I'd hit him. I don't care.
So you were definitely like somebody that was going inside. If a pitcher the previous day broke your starting second baseman's toe, even with a breaking ball,
no.
A back foot slider, it sounds to me like you're somebody who would go up and
nope.
Tight the next day.
Not over something like that. But if you came in and slid hard and took out my second baseman.
You said looking at the umpire too long.
No. If he's in the in the box, like, bitching at the umpire and bitching about every pitch or pitches the last at bat, yeah, there's no doubt. I'm not afraid to send a message the next time he gets in the box. I'm not going to try and hit him the first time. I'm going to brush him back a little bit, send a message. But yeah, I mean, I'm not about that life for the hitters that think that they, you know, they own the plate.
So you're standing up for umpires all over. You know, they look at the umpire too long.
I want the guy on my side, okay? If it also helps me indirectly that because he was bitching at the umpire, if I send a message the next at bat without even having to hit him, I think I got a better chance of the umpire going, okay, I like that.
I don't
Joel
think
Blank
so.
Backs the blue.
I don't think that an umpire is going to get that message.
I don't care if you think it or not. All I know is I'd rather have the chance that I'm thinking that I'm doing something that helps me than hurts me.
So when you hit the guy in support of the umpire, would you look at the umpire and, like, pound your chest? That's no. Like, that one was for you, Blue.
No, but it's better than my catchers who would like to back away from or skip out on a pitch and let it hit the umpire. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
You have a guy yelling balls and strikes at the umpire. Blankers goes high and tight and then yells, Blue Lives Matter.
You're going to grade that, Joe?
That one's good, I think.
Actually, it wasn't bad. I just like to imagine that if the umpire's had a rough game and the other team is getting on him, the umpire makes the call to the bullpen to bring Blankers in as the enforcer to start dotting some people.
He's the goon on the pitching staff.
I don't think I ever got to that status, thank you. But, yeah, look, we had a feisty team. You know, it's like you were talking about, though, Jeremy, with the Astros. Maybe if that happens – remember when the Rockets got hot? Remember what they were also doing that kind of really jump-started it, too? They were fighting every night. If something like that is what they need right now to kind of change the momentum or fire them up, so be it.
Yeah. So we need Fromber to come back and start hitting people again?
No, we just need Fromber to come back, period.
We draw. Blankers is throwing at people, fighting at bars. I need to hang out with this guy. And then
there was a time where that was pretty frequent.
Someone both texted 10.0 joke. They gave me perfect marks.
That's a bit far.
Uncle Barney needs to slow down.
It wasn't Uncle Barney. It was a Branham, though. It was me. How impactful is the Texans culture? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cash it or trash it in 10 minutes. What are you cashing or trashing? 713-780-3776. Uncle Barney never texts the text line, by the way. Only texts me directly.
He
agrees with you more than he agrees with me. He always argues with me. He doesn't have great sports sense. He's like, Blankers is right. Nice. You're wrong. Yeah. Okay. All right, doctor. He is a doctor. 713-780-ESPN. How impactful is this Texans culture? You know, we throw that word around a lot in sports. I do think it carries great weight. I believe in culture. I'm a believer in that. I think all good teams have good culture. I shouldn't say that. I don't think all good teams have culture. I think all great organizations, programs have culture. I think you can win without good culture every now and then, but not like sustainable winning. Here was Will Anderson yesterday addressing the media, talking about, you know, this Texans culture is good. There's a lot of players around the league that do want to play for the Texans, do want to play with DeMeco, but everybody's not cut out for it.
Texas ain't for everybody, man. It's a different type of DNA you have to have to play here, man. It's a different type of character you have to have. And you just got to love football, man. And I think, you know, the front office and coach, they do a really good job of choosing the guys that they want to be in here that, you know, can help change the culture and help keep uplifting the culture and, you know, being a positive impact not only on the building but in the locker room as well.
So it's not for everybody, Blankers. How impactful is this culture that DeMeco Ryans has instilled in the building at on Kirby?
I mean, it's a discussion you and I have had previously, and my biggest thing is it's not going to be the difference that, you know, an extra digit on the dollar sign, I mean, you know, on the contract would make for anybody. But at the same time, it's going to be a factor when you're trying to recruit guys to this organization, because in the past, you look for where this organization has come from. They were the laughing stock of the league. They were the laughing stock from a coaching perspective, from a player's perspective, from a roster and front office perspective. It was a joke. It was a bleep show. And all of a sudden, now you are going to be in conversations, in negotiations, because players are going, I want to play there, as opposed to keep me away from there, but if they're going to throw ridiculous money at me, I'll consider it, to where now you've got a 180, if you will, of everybody going, you know what? If the money's the same or close, sometimes maybe even close, I want to play there because I want to be in that locker room, in that environment, because I like what they're building and how they're going about their business. I think it's refreshing. It's something that I had hoped that happened. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, no matter who they brought in. But I think it can only be a positive for the franchise.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the culture. It's crazy because I don't think it's a reach, but it's dating back a few years. Because the whole O'Brien Easterby thing was about culture, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting people who were smart, who were tough, and were dependable. You could say the same things about DeMeco Ryans, right? So, like, why can one regime do it, but the other regime can't? I think it's the follow-through. Because I think it's very easy to say those things, but it's very, very difficult to say those things and then act that way every single day and be consistent with those things. And I think that's where DeMeco is really good.
So you hit on it, though, Jeremy. It's the fact that It's the follow through, but it's also the trust and the consistency in the way you do it. You can't be a Jack Easterby and you preach over and over culture, 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 but then you're going to let Brandon Cook slide and you're going to do some things where, you know, he might be one of your guys, or for whatever reason, you're not going to do it one way, one time, but then you're going to want to do it the next time and you're going to preach culture. The fact with D'Amico,
what did Cooks do though, where he deserved to be like suspended or anything?
Oh, there were times we heard about it. I mean, there was the locker room things, the pouting on the field things.
He definitely pouted, but like the locker room defended him whenever he was gone.
But I'm saying that's one of those guys that Jack, I'm just using his reference. Jack, that was one of his guys. I think.
But they cut guys like Cunningham, and you know they McKinney. They benched Reed for a game.
I'm just saying overall, you have to. There's a trust level that goes with it too. Jack had a lot of moves that were questioned. A lot of people that questioned whether he even knew ball because of the fact that he wasn't, his background didn't say that he ever was, you know, in depth in football decisions and football operations. Even his Belichick said so. But when you get a guy like D'Amico that's going to walk the walk and talk the talk, and from day one he's not going to change and waver and stop being who he is, and then you see the success on the football field and you see it translate to what he did in San Francisco with developing lower round picks into some really good players, and also the fact that since he took over the job, you could feel a total and see a total difference in the roster and everything that went with it on a day-to-day basis. You talk to guys in the league, it's not the joke show that it was with the coaches and the Easterby factors previous. It's guys that got their bleep together that are doing it the right way that it's easy to buy into and you're not going to get screwed over by.
Yeah, and I think that people believe him too. Like, and the reason they believe him is because of his actions. They don't care what coaches say. They couldn't care less what they say. But do they act on what they say, and are they believable? And I think that D'Amico is. That's why I think the arrow is pointing up in this organization. Look, maybe next year isn't. Maybe you're not competing for a Super Bowl next year. Maybe you lose in a wild card round. But I do think that this D'Amico Ryans era, C.J. Stroud era, I do think that you're going to be a winning football team year in, year out. You're going to be a fixture in the AFC as one of the top teams. You know, maybe you never get to the mountaintop. Maybe you never get to the Super Bowl. But I'm bullish with where this organization's at, mainly because of D'Amico. Secondly, because they have the quarterback. And if you have quarterback and you have coach in the NFL, you're going to be really, really, really good, no matter what, really. Look at Kansas City.
But think about Jimmy Johnson.
Tyreek Hill and go back-to-back.
Think about Jimmy Johnson's theory all the time, too, was you got to have a coach, you got to have a coach, a quarterback, and a defense. And the fact is you got a coach, you got a quarterback, and now you got a hell of a lot better defense than you had a year ago with all the guys you've added.
I think the defense stuff is antiquated, though. Like, I don't think you need a defense as much now as you used to. I'd much rather have an offense than a defense.
Not in the pecking order chain. It doesn't have to be at the highest of levels, but at the same time, you still got to stop people, and you still have to have guys that can make a difference to alter the way offenses are running things, and the way that you can't let an offense run roughshod on you. And the fact that he now has three legitimate pass rushers and a linebacker that he's worked with in the past that seems to be better at doing all the things in his defensive schemes, and you're adding guys that have made this defense better, and you're still opportunities to do that with the draft. I think that it doesn't have to be one of your top two priorities, but I think that a defense that can stop people is part of the overall equation to taking that team to the levels you're talking about.
713-780-ESPN. How important is that culture for the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. Cash it or trash it with the Bees. What hot takes? What overreactions do you have? Do you want us to cash or trash? We got our hot takes as well. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to welcome our newest sponsor to the ESPN family, and that's Bullshirts. I know Bullshirts very well because in my previous life, in my previous job, I knew if there was any company that I had to reach out to or that our organization had to get to so that we needed something done, whether it be all the t-shirts for one of the nights in the playoffs or one of the giveaway nights, or all the different accessories from the golf tournament to the promotional items like hats and koozies and cups and mugs, it was always going to be Bullshirts. It's a one-stop shop for anything you may need in large quantities or even smaller quantities, from screen printing to embroidery to promo items. They take care of you every step of the way. They're local. They're going to be even better at what they do because you don't have to worry about being shipped across the country. You know all the shipping problems that have been out there lately. They are trusted by your troop professional major league teams in this city. They are should be trusted by you too. For your business, for your parties, for your family reunions, if you need t-shirts, if you need promotional items, if you need just about anything as a giveaway or a cool gift, you got to check out Bull Shirts. Their website is bull-shirts.com, but you got to go check them out because there's no other place I recommend. They're the best in the business. They have guaranteed top-notch quality and service. They've been in business since 1980, over 40 years for servicing Houston with all the best in items and gear. Check them out today. It is bull-shirts.com.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
He's blank on Brad. I'm time for Cash 'em or Trash 'em. What are we cashing? What are we trashing? Blankers? Age before beauty.
By May 1st, J-Lo will be on this squad playing first base. And Joey Loperfido means that John Singleton is gone. Mr. Abreu is to the bench for the time being. And Joey gets his shot by May 1.
There's a lot going on here because you had multiple.
I did.
It was more of a domino effect. So J-Lo is here May 1st, and Singleton's the guy that gets DFA'd.
Yep.
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
I want it to be true. I would love for this to be the case, but I don't think – if he's up by May 1st, I don't think it's because they get rid of Singleton. I think if he's up by May 1st,
would it be
because of injury.
So it wouldn't change if I said, okay, Greg Kessinger.
Well, definitely not Greg Kessinger. Like, they need positional flexibility.
But you got Doobie.
Yeah, but if he's in the starting lineup, then what do you got?
Well, that's true. If he's in the starting lineup, it's different.
And he's supposed to start quite a bit. So, like, you can't carry three first basemen. I know Loperfido has positional flexibility; he can play the outfield. But you're not gonna have J-Lo come up, and then you're carrying two backup first basemen. So, like, I'm going to trash it because I think the only way he's up is if there's an injury on this one. So, trashing that, I think that your scenario could happen, but I think it would be more June 1st than May 1st. So I'll nitpick the date a little bit and trash this.
You know that Jose Abreu could get about a week back, and then they'll post-date it and make sure that he has to be on the IL.
Well, that's not
with
what
back.
You said. You
no,
said
I know, but
Singleton.
I'm just saying that injury could happen. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, that's different.
No, I'm not trying to justify it for my take on that.
Okay,
I'm saying
you,
that's
you,
also a possibility. We've seen it before that maybe he's just so bad that they'll blame it on his back again and sit him down.
Yeah, okay. Well, if we're going with the injury angle, I can...
No, we're not. We're
okay,
not. My
okay.
Take
so
is
so we're
is.
Taking the injury off? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to...
Trash.
I'm going to have to trash it. I can't see them DFAing Abreu by May 1st. Like, the Loperfido part, I could see that happening May 1st. I still think it's June, but I could see it as possible, especially since Loperfido has some positional flexibility and could help out in multiple places. I just can't see them completely moving on and eating salary for a player not on the roster by May 1st with Jose Abreu.
A man can dream, right?
I side with Jeremy in the fact that I'd like it to be true. I just don't think they're going to completely cut bait with Jose Abreu before May 1st.
Yeah. Well, that's not what he said, though. He didn't. He said Abreu would be on the bench.
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I
did.
Heard DFA.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I heard
so
DFA.
He said that Singleton would be DFA'd and that
oh,
J-Lo would take
would
a spot.
Oh, Singleton would be a DFA.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm still going to trash it. Yeah.
Trash.
Not shocked.
All right. Mike Cashem or trash him. Frambez. Framber Valdez's injury has nothing to do with throwing the baseball. And Framber Valdez's injury is because he hit it on something. What do we know about Fromber's injury? We know that he went to Arlington after he started. Okay. Like, if you're feeling something in your elbow, you're probably going to feel it after the start. We know that he, like, reported the injury the day before he started, which, as we know, and Blankers knows because he used to pitch. What are you doing the day before a start? You're playing soft toss. Yep. Like, you're barely throwing the baseball. So his elbow became inflamed after soft toss, which is after his actual bullpen day between starts. That's very weird. What else do we know about the injury with Framber Valdez? We know that he came home to Houston immediately. We also found out that he didn't undergo an MRI. Remember Joe Espada said that he underwent imaging that showed inflammation but did not receive any news about the Valdez elbow ligament? Okay, that's weird. You would think a pitcher would need imaging on his left elbow when he's a lefty whenever he's complaining about it, right? Is the UCL intact? Well, he underwent imaging, but it wasn't an MRI. What does that mean? It means an X-ray. Maybe they're looking at a crack in the elbow. I have a theory that Framber Valdez's elbow injury has nothing to do with throwing, but it was a brunt, like a blow. Like a blow to the elbow. Maybe he hit it funny. That's
champagne
my cash
bottle?
I don't think they're celebrating anything in April, but yes, along those lines with Lance McCullers. Yep. I think he hit his elbow. They were making sure that it was not broken, and it had nothing to do with the UCL, because if it did, he would have underwent an MRI.
I'm intrigued by this, but at the same time, as a Major League Baseball franchise, how in the world do you not have an MRI?
Like, because because it wasn't a UCL. It was a hit to the elbow. That's why.
But even if you have something that, I'm just saying, from a professional sports team doing their due diligence, even if you knock your elbow and there's a crack or a bone, something with a bone, which is an X-ray, you probably still do the MRI.
Yeah.
You're not worried about the cost of it, just to make sure everything is intact structurally there too.
Yeah, I'm actually with Joel.
That's more credibility to my argument, though.
I'm
saying that you're actually helping me prove my
point.
No,
because
if
it was anything at all that could have been that way, they would have done the MRI. Why didn't they?
Right.
Because he hit it.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm not trying to crap on you.
No, I know. I'm saying that you're adding credibility to my argument.
What's frustrating to me is an organization that overuses the word discomfort, but then also doesn't explore every possibility of what the discomfort's coming from, would really bother me too. And I hope that's not the case, but it sounds like it may be. But you know what? I'm going to cash it because I think that there's a possibility, and I'm hoping for it because I don't want him to be out long term, and I want it to be something that has nothing to do with the structure of the things that he needs to throw the baseball. So I will cash it because I believe it's possible.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to cash this as well. I think Jeremy is on to something, and I'm on your side on this as well, Joel, that, for a Major League Baseball team, even if Framber, hits it on a counter, hits it, in the dugout, whatever happens along Jeremy's theory, even if that's the case, if we know it's him hitting something, it's not from throwing, yeah, what is the cost of an MRI to
Houston
Astros? Yeah,
right.
I mean, just get an MRI just to make sure that, more damage besides possible bone damage wasn't done when said, hit of the elbow happened. So I would be a little disappointed that they didn't get the MRI anyway, but I definitely think, as Jeremy lays out the timeline and the lack of an MRI, that it definitely lends some credence to the idea that, this was not sustained pitching.
The timeline is too fishy in this whole deal. He's reporting it the day after he starts when you're playing soft toss. Joe Espada confirmed imaging, but said he didn't hear any news about the ligament. We thought that was really weird. And then he said later, Framber did, that he didn't have an MRI. This is not the UCL. What else did they say? Top of the elbow. What do you do at the top of the elbow sometimes? Sometimes you bang it down on things. Like, they said it wasn't the inside. They said it was the top. Framber Valdez, they were worried that he broke a piece of bone in his elbow. They were never worried about the UCL. And the lack of MRI, it's not a conspiracy. The lack of the MRI confirms my theory.
Damn those stairs and those dugouts. I mean, first he sprains an ankle. Now he probably slipped down them again. And this time he whacked his elbow on the stairs.
Yes.
How did Framber hit his elbow? Wrong answers only. 713.
I am wearing a tinfoil hat as I say this, too.
I don't think you even need to wear the tinfoil hat.
Now, can you pitch with a cracked bone? As long as it's just the bone, can you pitch with a cracked bone in your elbow?
I doubt it.
Seems ill-advised.
It doesn't seem like a great idea.
I'd be very relieved if it was just a bone issue that you're dealing with and you know what you're feeling as opposed to ligaments and things that are important.
It would seem shorter term for sure.
Yes, he was tossing. Too. I hope you're right.
He was tossing yesterday, too. So, like, the imaging was probably good news. All right, Brian, what do you have? What are you catching?
I don't know if I can follow it up, Jeremy.
I've had a lot of thoughts on this conspiracy.
I feel
lots
like we should
of
have.
Thoughts.
I think you should have asked for the breaking news. I think you just solved it.
I guess I'll
soldier on and go ahead and give my hot take. So I think a week from today, the first round of the NFL draft is going to happen. And I think we've spent a lot of time, or at least mock drafts have spent a lot of time, talking about how many wide receivers, first-round wide receivers, there could be in this draft. And I think they're actually going to set a record for the most wide receivers taken in the first round. The record right now is 7. It was in 2004. And as I'm looking at this year's draft, Daniel Jeremiah has 6 guys projected in his top 32. As far as just the pure draft rankings, not a mock draft, but pure draft rankings. Lance in his latest mock draft had six wide receivers go in the first round. And you got guys outside of the first round like Xavier Worthy, a few others like Keon Coleman. It only takes, I think, one or two guys to maybe go higher than we expect, a few guys to climb boards. Tebow was a first-round pick. It only takes one. I think you have one or two go higher than you expect, and I think you're going to end up with 8 wide receivers in the first round instead of a new record for the first round of the NFL draft.
Everything I've seen, I was looking at this the other night a little bit, but I've seen six. Six has always been, and you think about 4 quarterbacks minimum.
I mean, the record's 7. I'm thinking 8.
To break it, you got to have 8. Yeah, I mean, if you go 8 and 4 quarterbacks and 12 guys are already taken up by quarterback and wide receiver, I'm going to trash it simply because I think that they might tie the record. I think 6 is legitimate, but I don't think they can get to 8.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it too. I think they tie it. Tie it is my number. So I'll go with 7.
Ladd McConkey going to make that run?
Yeah, Ladd McConkey, yep. Xavier Worthy, I think are a couple guys.
You know why I don't think it's going to break? Is because there's going to be insane value for defensive players late in the first round. And you're going to have these teams that are like, oh, man, these defensive players are usually like mid-first round talents, and they can't pass up on them, and they're not going to be willing to trade down. So I don't think it quite gets there. I think you see an early wave of that like second, third-tier receiver, though, in the second round, like early second
yeah,
round.
Yeah, I think the late run is going to be on corners and things when they do have all the quarterbacks and a lot of the wide receivers go early.
Yeah, here's a few of the textures, cashums or trashums. From mid-May to the end of the year, Hader will have a sub 2.4 ERA. That's from Eric the Driver.
I would cash that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll cash it too because we're doing radio in Houston, doing opposite.
I believe that. I totally believe that.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely capable. He's one of the better relievers in all of baseball. He just hasn't pitched to it. I'll cash it. Brandon T, cash your trash. Lance McCullers will have over 6 wins this year.
Trash that.
Yeah, that's an easy trash.
Is he going to get 6 starts this year?
That's even if question. He does, he ain't winning all of them.
What would you set the number at?
Starts or wins?
Wins. Lance McCullers wins. If you were Vegas 3. And you were setting the number, what would you set it at?
I would have said 2.5. So 3. We're right along the
same. Yeah, we're all on the same page. I would have said 2.5, too. So, yeah, 6 is insane. 6 would be giving away money.
The number if you just say how many starts is he going to get this year?
Might be 6.
I would say 5.5.
Yeah, when do we think he's coming back?
August 1.
I think definitely after the All-Star game.
Too, right? Like, yeah. Even if you go August 1, let's just say you play 28 games a month. So you're looking at August. How many months you have left? August, September. That's only 2 months. That's like 56 games when he comes back. If it's a 5-man rotation, I don't think he gets. I think he gets like 6 starts.
I think 5 or 6 maximum. Is the maximum amount he gets.
If he comes back August 1st, he might be able to get to 10, actually.
Yeah, the math would be for that. I'm trying to remember exactly when he came back the last time, because he came back the last time sometime in August,
and
got 8 starts.
Yeah, it was in August.
But I don't remember what part of August it was.
They always borderline on precaution, too.
And they might be in a 6-man rotation at that point.
I think
so
he gets 6 starts, and he's lucky if he gets 3 wins.
Yeah, 3 wins going to be tough. Yeah, he got 8 starts, 4 wins in 2022, which, I mean, it's actually really good. He actually had 2.27 ERA. We forget that Lance McCullers, whenever he pitches, is really good.
I forget that.
Not necessarily you.
Oh.
I'm just talking about people in general. Like, people are so dismissive of Lance McCullers, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, I get it. He's always hurt, but whenever he is on the mound, big if, he's always been efficient. I don't believe Alex was sick. He needed time to rethink his hitting approach. Cash or trash?
I'm going to trash that.
Trash.
I think that there were reports, Julia and others, that had said that he was feeling sick on the road, and when he came back, it didn't get better, it got worse, and that they were surprised one day he even walked in. So good conspiracy there, but not good enough. I'm going to trash it.
No, I'm trashing this one, too. I do love his approach a lot more yesterday than I did prior to his illness. So whatever he got, it was a good thing, but he didn't fake an illness.
Probably
Alex Bregman's a gamer, too. Like he plays through injuries.
Yeah.
He plays whenever he's scuffling. He hates days off. He wouldn't go home for 3 days.
He hates it, but he'll take one. He's not going to take multiples back-to-back. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one either.
Probably ate some of that trash Kansas City barbecue and got sick.
Yeah, the burn-ins were bad. Ugh. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That's it for Cash It or Trash It. DeMeco provided some clarity on a couple of positions that have questions for the Texans, like left guard, like defensive tackle. Is it the clarity we want? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
He's blank. I'm Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Everybody's guessing what Framber banged his elbow on. What did Framber bang his elbow on to break his elbow? Almost break his elbow. Forced him to get x-rays, but not MRIs. 713-780-3776. What did Framber bang his elbow on that forced him to get an x-ray, but not an MRI? I shouldn't say x-ray. We don't know x-ray for sure. We know it was imaging.
Imaging, right.
It was imaging. Those are the facts tell us that it was imaging. But the facts also tell us it wasn't an MRI. I'm not very smart. We all know this. Are there other things you can do for imaging that isn't an x-ray or an MRI?
I don't.
Doctors, weigh in. 713-780-377.
I don't know if there's things like CAT scans, but you wouldn't do that for the elbow.
No. Maybe Fromber's elbow, though. Maybe that's the issue. His head's in the wrong spot.
We took a CAT scan on his elbow. We didn't see anything.
I mean, our mind being in the wrong spot has been hurting men for generations. 713-780-ESPN. Framber banged his elbow on the locker, putting on his jersey. He wouldn't be wearing a jersey the day before a start. He'd be wearing that little pullover. Framber got hurt by Correa's masseuse. Maybe. I think a masseuse would probably work on a pitcher's left arm. I think that's fair. Like, I think it's in play here. It's just as much in play as Carlos Correa breaking his rib that way.
Maybe the masseuse was rubbing something, and you know how sometimes when you are – never mind, I shouldn't make the comparison.
You don't say the words rubbing something and then fade out.
You know, sometimes how, like, when you're petting your favorite pet and reach the spot and all of a sudden the – what is it, non-voluntary movement, and he whacked it on something? Easy, I said it.
ultrasound, sonogram. He's not having an ultrasound or a sonogram.
Was he pregnant?
Elbow, right?
Is he pregnant?
Well, that's what's in the elbow. I've had a. I don't want to say this. I've had an ultrasound before. So I promise you that I've never been pregnant. I've never been pregnant. They do ultrasounds for other things, not just pregnancies. 4485 on the edge of the kitchen counter. He was on the road, but maybe they have kitchens in their suites. I don't know.
I don't think they're at an Embassy Suites or whatever. But
yeah, probably not. Where did Framber bang his elbow on? Banged his elbow getting drunk and slipped backwards and hit it on the ground. Okay, that's a theory. I hope he's not getting drunk 2 games before his start, but maybe. 3062, I can tell you it wasn't a treadmill.
Wow. Why not? He's in better shape this year.
Yeah. Framber looks a lot better. Framber looks in great shape. I think the Astros pitching staff was on Ozempic this offseason, by the way. Between Framber and between Christian Javier, you telling me they weren't on Ozempic during the offseason?
There's another one, too. There's another name for it, but the Chuckster was doing his show with Gail King. And he's on the – is it over?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's canceled.
Well, the one night they did this whole thing with Oprah and everything, and Charles was like, yeah, man, I'm on it. I lost 75 pounds. I can't get it. And Adam Silver was the next guest. And he goes, time out. Before we get into anything with the NBA and basketball, did you just say you can't get an over-the-counter drug that everybody – that he's like, yeah, they won't give it. He's like, I find that really hard to believe.
Osho says Framber's elbow was hit by an errant foul ball from Abreu during batting practice. I doubt it. I don't think Abreu's even touching batting practice fastballs. He was trying to ride a hoverboard and busted his blank/elbow. My brother almost had his foot amputated on one of those motorized scooters that you can see in like big cities.
Uh-huh.
He hit like a pothole or whatever, which, you know, you need to fix those potholes. Third Rock Renewables. He hit a pothole the wrong way on one of those scooters, and he almost had to have his foot amputated. Just something to keep in mind on that. Sorry to make it a little bit morbid. 9497, he was wrestling and then the people's elbow on his opponent. The brunt force on a people's elbow isn't going to cause a fracture in the elbow, would it?
I don't know. It was good enough to get the 1-2-3 on Cody Rhodes WrestleMania Saturday.
There you go. Dusty in Mont Bellevue, Framber looked at his recent outings and hit his funny bone. He was fine in his previous start. That one doesn't add up. That conspiracy doesn't add up.
But you know how guys like to was it the Bucks a couple years ago that during warm-ups and stuff they imitated the WWE and did the takedowns and everything, and maybe that he and the guys in the locker room after watching the Monday Night Raw or whatever started to go through some of the motions and he whacked it on a table.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, elbow dropped through the table. I could see it. Framber's extreme.
He's at the top of the clubhouse locker.
They're going treating it like a Hell in a Cell match. He came off the top and went through the table.
It was on the pregame spread. 9780. Framber banged his elbow on Jose Abreu's bat, first barrel that Abreu's found all year.
That's fantastic.
Oh, man.
Tweet of the day so far?
Fromber high-sided on a motorcycle. What is that? You just go up and over? I'm not a big motorcycle enthusiast. I would imagine that's what it is, right?
Maybe
you go too far over? I don't know what a high-sided on a motorcycle is. Sorry to...
I think that, like, if you're turning and you go, you kind of get too upright with your body when the motorcycle's on a tilt that it can slide out from under you?
Apparently, no. It looks like you actually go... Okay, Google Images telling me two different things. Yeah, I'm not real sure. Like, it shows two different images. It shows one guy what you're talking about, and then it shows another guy going over the handles. So, okay. I would think it's more yours, though, but Google Imaging is not really helping me here. 713-780-ESPN. What did Framber Valdez bang his elbow on to undergo imaging but not an MRI? It's my conspiracy theory. He tried to take Chaz's pudding. I don't think Chaz is getting his pudding anymore. 8437, same joke. Framber banged his elbow on the clubhouse fridge trying to sneak one of Chaz's banana puddings.
Is there something we can incorporate with the fact that he changed the hairstyle, got rid of the extensions and the beads, and that maybe he was...
Could have been changing his hair out.
Yeah, or using the hair dryer to try and get a quick dry and whacked it on the wall in the hotel.
Maybe. What is a... Like, sometimes whenever these situations happen, we're trying to play detective and put two and two together, you kind of have to think about your own instances. So, like, when were times that you banged your elbow, like, wherever? On a table, on a wall? Like, when do you bang your elbow?
There's a lot of them. I think in the kitchen a lot when you're going from, like, the sink to the counter to the stove, and if you're, like, cutting stuff up, I think you can do it. I've had experience with guys, professional athletes that quote unquote did it. I think that's why I think like if you're in the garage and you're going to get like something to do for like trimming the bushes or doing something in the yard and you turn real quickly trying to grab something and we've got shelves, you can hit it on the shelves.
Yeah, I think I did. I think the last time that I banged my elbow was like coming out of the shower. Like we have one of those, it's not a bathtub. What do we call it? Where it's just like a one man shower. I don't know what you call them, but we, you know, whenever you open the door, it's kind of, tight quarters. Yeah, it's shower only.
It's just shower only.
Is that what it's called?
I think it's just
shower only.
Yeah.
So we have a shower only, and then we have like the big tub next to it, but it's not together. So like whenever I came out of this has been a couple weeks ago, I guess, I opened the door and like, I was just trying, you know, tight quarters, looking for the towel, banged my elbow on the wall. I think it's the last time that I did it. Maybe he did that. And he was also staying in a hotel. So it's like foreign territory where I think accidents happen more often on foreign territory because you're not familiar with your surroundings.
It's possible. Yeah, I think that's for sure. You stay in enough hotels. I mean, that's always a possibility. Look, there could be a guy that's delivering the bags and you could turn around in the lobby and hit it on one of those big luggage rack things that they wheel around too. So there's a plethora of ways he could get hurt.
713-780-ESPN. 6455, found out we got digs and hung out with Bill's Mafia and jumped on a table that was on fire.
There you go.
Banged up elbow is probably minor on things. 3062, he was lightheaded. That's probably... possible. 5273, due to the offense, Framber banged his elbow in a trash can to get the offense going. Don't text us that stuff. We're not going to read jokes like that.
I like it.
713-780-3776.
It's a walk-in shower, Brian, by the way.
Walk-in shower.
That's the technical term.
Walk-in shower. Hotel doors are spring-loaded, too. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Framber doesn't know the difference between Tommy John and hitting his funny bone. Okay, that's an intelligence joke. He's calling. You know what he's doing?
Maybe the Astros medical staff doesn't either. For as long as they've taken with injuries,
that texter is calling Framber Valdez low S Tui. Is what he's doing. He's calling Framber low S Tui. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Charles, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Charles?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey,
go, Charles.
I was just calling, like, just a few minutes ago, you guys were kind of trying to figure out what high siding on a motorcycle was. That's all I was calling in about. So low siding is when you're kind of taking a turn too sharp and the bike slides off from underneath you, but high siding is where the bike catches and then catapults you over the top. So that would be absolutely catastrophic. So I hope that's not what happened to his arm.
Yeah, I don't think it is because he's moving around. Thank you, Charles, for the clarification. Appreciate you calling in. That's what the Hive does. We ask and they deliver. Thank you, Hive. We have the best listeners, the smartest listeners, and very well-versed listeners. Versatile.
I almost high-sided a treadmill a couple weeks back and sued Lifetime.
How would you go over the top of a treadmill?
Oh, it's possible when they have a power outage.
Be an athlete, blankers.
Okay, you try to be an athlete, Jeremy. You try and be running on the treadmill and have the power go out and the belt just stop. and tell me that you're not going to be thrown towards the front of the treadmill with a chance to go all the way over.
I wouldn't be thrown over the treadmill with a chance of being thrown over.
I think that was Blinker's.
Because you wouldn't be going that fast.
I think that was Blinker's actually trying to humble brag how fast he
was. No. Because there's a couple of my buddies. We found out later they had four power outages that morning. You didn't think after the first one it might be good to say either people stay off the equipment or at least be aware of this? That's some scary stuff.
Wait, they have four power. What are your gym dues going for?
It was the weather.
Okay.
The weather was really bad.
Man, my gym dues back.
Yeah, when you're not expecting it and all of a sudden the belt just stops, yeah, that can be a problem.
Were you clocking yourself? How fast were you running? What were your MPH?
At 6.5.
You have to run to do that?
I'd like to see you do 6.5 for a period of time.
713-780-ESPN. What did Fromber bang his elbow on? We'll get to the Texans conversation, too. Providing clarity on the positions that maybe are a need for the Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'll tell you again about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, he knows what he's doing. He does a ton of stuff. I mean, if you think you might be starting to thin out and lose your hair, he's got PRP treatments where you don't have to do anything more than go in a couple of times a year. And basically, it's like basically enriching the blood under the scalp, and the hair gets stronger, and it develops quicker, and it grows better because of the fact that it's kind of helping. It's like fertilizer for your lawn. If you have already, it's too far gone. If you already have bald spots and thinning that you don't think is coming back and PRP can't help, there's always the Neograft procedure. The Neograft procedure is taking it to the next level. It's taking hair from areas of your head that you're never going to lose it. And genetically, Doc explained it to me. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that, puts it where you need it, where you're having the trouble growing any more hair. And it gets stronger and longer, and it grows, and it stays, and it's phenomenal, and the results are unbelievable. The fact is 95 to 99% of all the follicles that Doc can move are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. And since he's taken it from an area where you're never going to lose it, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. It's fantastic. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. That's why I tell you about it on a regular basis. Because if you're losing your hair and you don't want to dabble with all the stuff that just cover and mask the problem, like the sprays and the creams and the foams, the Neograft procedure is for you, and PRP could be too. Check it out today because you can go to 975hair.com and learn all about everything that Doc Linville can do for you. And then you can set up a free appointment and a consultation with Doc and his staff that normally costs $150 for people off the street. You listen to us. You heard me talk about him. You get the consultation for free. Go in. Ask questions. Get it explained to you. See if it's right for you, too. If it is, you will never regret the fact and be disappointed in the fact that you did. Because it works. Granado's had it. I've had it. We can't stop talking about how great it is. You might be the next in line. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.